Movie Night with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Hey, boys and girls, welcome to the Movie Night podcast. I'm Dwayne Perkins, joined as always by my hilarious co-host, TK Kelly. Each week we watch a movie and we make a guest sit through that movie as well. And then we meet here to discuss it.
That's the correct way to describe this week's episode. We make a guest sit through a movie. Our guest this week, a good sport and a great comic. He's the host of the Halftime Live Sports Trivia app. He's also in the movie Live, available on DirecTV, iTunes, and Verizon VOD. The movie isn't live. It's called Live. I don't know if I said that in a weird way.
Right, right.
Sean McBride, what's up, man?
I appreciate you clarifying.
I realized after I said Halftime Live Sports and then Live, it was like people probably thought I just stumbled over.
Right,
like, oh, yeah. TK's drunk on the podcast
His
again.
His girlfriend is named Live Blakely.
What's going on, man?
So
thanks for being here.
A video stream or something?
Right, right. How's it going, man?
It's going great. I think the more accurate way of putting it, held hostage was how I felt.
Yeah. Sorry.
Watching that movie.
We'll get into that.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Hijacked afternoon.
Tell us about your movie, though.
It's an interesting movie. It was more my buddy who's he's a director and an editor, very talented guy. He got this idea. It was kind of inspired after the Philando Castile shooting happened.
Right.
And it was, you know, like, what if somebody got, but like going a different route, like that guy you saw, he gets shot on Facebook Live. It's like, what if a woman got abducted on Facebook Live what would happen? And so he got this idea of, like, let's run a fake Facebook
Let's
page
kidnap a
for
woman.
Real. No. We did. His wife's an actress, and we had her put on a wig and just basically shut down her current Facebook page, and we had her run a fake Facebook account as a different woman for a year and a half and built up her friend base.
Wow.
And then would slowly
that is
put
crazy.
These videos out, like her live streaming, and it was whole purpose of the movie is, like, you know, people put way too much personal information on the internet and you never know who's watching. And so it's like, as she's telling her story, she's also divulging all of this information that shows why she's a good mark for abduction. And she gets abducted and is going to get auctioned off to get murdered on the dark web.
Whoa.
And people are like bidding. And so it's like the private investigator who's bringing the case.
So it's
to
a
the
comedy.
Cops.
Slapstick comedy.
Yeah, exactly. So we did it. And kind of the reason we did it was an idea of, you know, making a movie is really, really hard.
Yeah.
And it cost a ton of money. And we were able to shoot this for $15,000 and get a lot of people involved and, you know, basically wanting to open some doors. And you know how it works. It's like, if this can make some kind of money for these people, we get another chance at something else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's what it's about.
So you filmed basically an abduction and people thought it was real.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
So we put these videos up and ran it just to kind of see what happened. And cause like one of the other parts of the movie is it's just like, you know, people get abducted, and a lot, everything that happens to this woman is all based on real stuff that's happened in the news. And so, you know, you have a lot of people that, like, there's those girls in Washington, D.C. that just went missing. And if you don't have a family, like, or you don't have money, power, people to willing to blow the whistle to keep your story out there, like, you just become another missing person nothing
absolutely
happens. And so the movie is, it's like people kind of breaking because it's like she's another one of those where nothing's going to happen. The cops didn't do anything. And so we wanted to make it, and we really freaked some people out. Like, we were...
So, like, if I'm watching the movie, I know that it's fake, or I don't know it's fake.
It's done from a this is real kind of perspective, but it's not marketed like this was a real thing. It's kind of like a modern
We got this lady kidnapped.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for the people, there was, you know, she had 3,000 friends on Facebook by the time, and we had her interacting with people and putting all this in. And so there's some people that were really pissed off, but we explained, like, kind of the purpose for it was a social experiment just to see what would happen.
That's crazy.
We filmed basically all the her live streams are all part of the movie, but then the movie also takes in, you know, like the black and white, like, surveillance footage and interrogation room footage. It's all publicly accessible.
It's like you catfished
footage.
The world, in
exactly.
a sense.
Yeah. We catfished a lot of people, mostly in the Chicago area.
3,000 people who were friends with a stranger on Facebook.
But see, this is the thing, and we've said this before. It wasn't catfishing because we were never, like, attempting to prolong anything. Like, people would hit her up, and it was, if anything, you see, like, wow, how much women have to put up with from other just creepy dudes like, online.
We actually made a different movie.
Yeah.
Called Men Are Creeps.
And so we're always, like, you know, keeping up with her story of, like, she's getting out of a relationship. Because, again, she's, like, putting her life out there. And, like, one of it, like, she has it. She gets into an argument with her ex-husband who's coming to get his stuff, and she live streams it. And so it's, like, people are watching.
People buy that it's people.
Yeah.
Her friends buy that it's real.
Yeah. I mean, because this was all happening, and we were kind of like, just to make sure, like, all right, we wanted to make it as believable as possible when
That's
it came
amazing.
Time to lay
I gotta
it down
check
for
it out.
A movie.
Where is it again?
It's on, so you can get it on iTunes is the easiest way, but it's also on Amazon Prime, cool. Google Play.
I've never watched a movie
Direct
on
TV,
iTunes.
Dish Network,
I've watched
Sling
movies
TV.
On Google. So Google.
Frontier, Google. Verizon Fios, okay. And then like Sony, Xbox, Vudu.
Now, did anyone in the comments say like, "Hey, stop putting all your shit out there"? Like, just a
yes.
concerned person.
Oh yeah. So it's like, we did have people
equal amount
of
dick shots, and then right. like those people who right. are like, "We're worried
there
about you."
There was legitimately people that were concerned and kind of messaging her and trying to do the right thing and
right,
you know,
right.
like tell her that. But then there'd be, you know, every time we'd put her on where she would be vulnerable. That was when creepers would come out of the woodwork. Oh. Like, oh, can I fly you into town? Like, let me take you out for dinner, and we'll go do karaoke.
Oh God,
that was my favorite one. Like these just desperate dudes.
It's such a weird phenomenon that I think a lot of us dudes probably just forget about because we don't deal with that kind of response from people we don't know online. You know, like there are lots of people right. who follow you on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook who you don't personally know. But as a male comic, you don't get that, like, fucked up part of it.
Yeah, not hardly. Yeah, not as much as they do.
You don't get that constant influx of perversion. Like, yo, I'm
oh,
just here to... I'm trying to do comedy. Like,
but
leave me alone.
The thing is, though, if... It makes it tough because some guys are, like, ridiculous. Like, I'll fly you somewhere and I don't know
yeah.
you. But then some guys are, like... They're just friendly enough where, like... Say, like, if you have a sister and you're, like... telling her something. She doesn't like what you're telling her. Don't do this, don't do that. There's always going to be a guy online who's like, no, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And obviously, he's just trying to get into
Move
a pants,
in.
But, you know, there's always someone to, like, agree with you online.
Yeah.
And, like, even if none of your friends or family think you're doing the right thing.
Exactly.
And it's kind of toxic in a sense.
And that's kind of what we see play out in the movie, too, yeah. where it's like, she was coming out of an abusive relationship with a controlling ex-husband that didn't let her have a Facebook page. And
oh,
so
wow.
she's getting on there kind of like, I want to blossom. I'm putting myself out there. And so she gets drawn to the attention. She likes the attention.
Yeah.
And it's like you're developing relationships with people that aren't really real. And
right.
ultimately she's, you know, talking with one guy who's one of the dudes who captures her and... You know, it's like
right.
it's all kind of one of like you. You
I think
see
you
all
probably
happen.
Tricked people because it's all sadly very believable. Like
yeah,
that scenario,
yeah.
especially when you see people developing a following online.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't know. You don't necessarily know if you're an attractive woman. You might have an idea, but you don't necessarily know why people are following you. Why? Like, are they genuine
yeah.
fans or are they some fucking weirdo?
Well, it's like. You know, you post a picture on Instagram, and if you have, you know, like a hot girl holding up your album, all of a sudden you're going to get a ton more likes
Absolutely.
Than you otherwise would.
Of course.
She's
but
an influencer.
Is that going to translate into more people buying your album necessarily?
Right, right.
I mean, you're getting likes, but, like, it's just horny dudes that are sitting there like, you know, well, screw that guy. Like,
right.
I want to be with her.
Exactly.
You know, if anything... You're a douche
right.
to them.
It's a really great concept, man. It's a really great. And I think what I'm hearing is that people listening, you have to be careful what you put on the cloud.
Oh, I felt it. I felt it coming.
Yes.
I knew
yes.
it.
Cloud
the Dwayne Atlas. Perkins transition.
Wow. Wow. We'll uh-huh. keep talking about
into
it,
this
movie,
week's
yeah.
shit movie. I mean, look, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but let's get into it. The movie this week is from 2012. It's called Cloud Atlas, directed by Lily and Lana Wachowski and Tom Tykwer, starring Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, Jim Broadbent, Hugo Weaving, Hugh Grant, lots of other people.
A lot of makeup.
I mean, how did we feel about this movie?
Well, I think when you see directed by three people,
that's not a good sign.
Yeah, there's a problem right there. Right.
You got three separate visions,
right. and
which
two,
makes sense since there's six separate storylines.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
I will say this. this movie should have been a season of a show.
Yes.
It would have been a great show.
I think, that's right. There's not like you can hate this movie, but you can still absolutely say like this could be amazing if given the right format, the right amount of time.
I got to tell you,
it was exhausting.
I was lucky enough to like not, to be honest, I watched the whole thing, but I feel like I was watching it, but not fully watching or invested until the second half. And I think that's when it picked up. So I kind of enjoyed the second half of the movie.
Yeah.
The first half, there was so much setup.
Yeah.
And I probably didn't dislike it as much as you guys, but it was super preachy. And
I just feel like
I don't know. Was it a love story? Was it about the little guy beating the big guy? What,
I
don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, like, they wrap it up. And you feel like, wait, was this a love story about Tom Hanks and Halle Berry getting together? Because in a weird way, I was sad. Like, I felt satisfied when I saw that. But I also, I don't know if you guys, like, there was so many things going on. And then all of these actors that you know playing all of these different characters. Like, I started reaching points where, like, I expected their other characters to start showing up. Like, you know, like, at what point is Tom Hanks' character from Saving Private Ryan going to be here?
Right.
Like, we need him. And then, like, when he got Halle Berry, I was, like, pumped. But, like, part of it was because he didn't get Gina Davis in A League of Their Own. Like, that's coming into my, like,
just wanted
like,
a win.
Like, that's
just
a different,
wanted him
but
to
it's
get
like,
a win.
I had
that's
seen
funny.
So many shades
with so many storylines.
Tom Hanks.
Right, yeah. Right.
And so many. It was unreal. And, like, but then, like, you see, like, all of their grandkids. Like, they got all these beautiful little Zoe Kravitzes running around. Right. And they're adorable. And it's kind of like, go, Tom.
Yeah.
Like, you have been through, like, and then you start, like, you've been through some shit, man. Like, wow.
There's
you
something.
Deserve this.
There's something
this. Like
great.
Like a quiet, like, I've got my.
Yeah, yeah.
There is something great here somewhere in it, I think. Yeah. It's based on a book. I'd be interested to see if maybe the book does a little better job.
Someone told me they didn't get through the book.
Really? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. It's got to be confusing as shit.
Right.
But it's also probably because they had to read a quarter of a fucking novel in some made-up future language that is like...
Oh, yeah.
It feels like this weird... whatever. And, all right, so here's my thing with this movie is it feels like I just wish that they took a different approach. I like the idea of like all these different people experiencing essentially the same kind of things throughout time. And like these universal experiences of life that everybody deals with.
Mm-hmm.
But the choice to use the same actor in every timeline made it so everything falls on the makeup and the look of it, and it didn't fucking work. Everything was distracting.
Like,
they did weird things where they made people different races, which was super
and
uncomfortable.
The noses were all, like,
and
prosthetic noses are always
to me. It was like make the through line something. Keep the birthmark as the signature that like that's the same guy as this timeline, but now it's a woman in this timeline. Just don't fucking Tom Hanks with a big wrinkled nose on his face is still fucking clearly Tom Hanks.
As crazy
like,
as it is. I got to watch it again at some point.
Well, that's what Roger Ebert, I read, because I'm sitting there on the couch and I'm like, I am not getting this. I feel stupid.
Right.
I should not have smoked pot before I watched this movie.
Right.
Which is kind of the same way I felt when I saw Inception. Like,
yeah.
I got it.
There's
like,
too much here
too
to unpack.
Much for me
to
handle. And then that movie was so long. I eventually caught up to it and then by the end, I was like, all
right,
now I'm out in front. Like, how
I'm...
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
You're falling over. Like, hit the ground already. Let's wrap it up. But, yeah, this movie...
What did Roger Ebert say?
Back to Roger Ebert.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was, like, losing my place. I'm like, much like this movie, we're all over the place.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track.
Roger Ebert was talking about, like, I watched it, and then I had to watch it a second time, and then I watched it a third time, and it's like, that's almost 10 hours.
That's homework.
That you've had to, like, Roger Ebert, he couldn't watch it a fourth time because he died.
Yeah. It killed him.
It's like,
this movie killed Roger Ebert.
Neil Brennan has a joke about that. Like, 10 times, and Neil Brennan in his joke, you can get a pilot's license in 10 hours, maybe 18 hours, whatever it is, but, like, 10 hours is a fucking long amount.
And to have to commit that deeply in order to get everything just tells me that there's too much here. There were I respect like the attempt at movie, but it feels like pare it back, lose some of those timelines, lose some running time off this movie,
and here's the thing,
like maybe put a little more money into the makeup.
Two or three of the timelines could be standalone movies.
Absolutely, there are very good stories.
The whole Soul Korea robots thing—that's a movie. Just
interesting.
Make that movie.
The 1970s one with the nuclear power plant, I thought was very interesting.
Right.
Even like the old people breaking out of the home was like this fun comedy. There was definitely interesting movies
in
here, but because they're all shoved together and they're butt up against shitty segments,
right,
where they completely lose you again.
Exactly.
Where you're staring at an Asian woman who's been put in whiteface and looks like the dude from Mask. Like, it's fucking...
Right. She's supposed to be the slave owner's daughter. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that was like...
I didn't they made Jim Sturgis.
So
they gave Jim Sturgis
she's
Korean.
Just an Asian with freckles now. Right.
Yes, and they gave Jim Sturgis Korean eyes. And I don't know if you noticed in the composer storyline, Halle Berry was his white wife.
They
caked so much makeup onto people that they. I mean, Hugo Weaving was the female nurse, and like.
And I get they wanted to sell that your soul comes back in a different form.
Yeah,
but to me, it's like, let it be
we
a different
it.
Form. It just didn't. It took me out of the moment so fucking often.
Because you can do that with different actors, just with the birthmark.
Yes, it's some through line that tells. It doesn't have to be the birthmark.
Right,
it can be anything.
Yeah.
But there were those through lines. But then it was also like there were just elements that so did not fucking work for me. Like the Tom Hanks, whatever weird Creole caveman tribe they were. That whole storyline with the goblin who like appeared and spoke
to
him.
That was like the leprechaun.
It was so fucking out of left field.
That's where you get three writers, three directors, because you can't have six storylines. And then in one of the storylines, there's also an imaginary person talking.
An imaginary person and an invented language that's like you have to pay such close attention to take away what they're saying.
Right.
And then at one point in that timeline, Tom Hanks says, "I'll take you to the devil's door if that's what you want." And it's like, that's an eloquent sentence.
Right.
And then he calls truths true truths. And I'm like, this is fucking the dumbest shit I have ever seen. I got so mad.
But the crazy thing is, it's almost like, what's crazy is that you get these big budgets, you get the greatest actors, and most of the time, the actors hold up their end of the bargain, right? And even Halle Berry is better than I've seen her in a lot of other things. I think working with Tom elevates her game, and it's just a waste of an actor because, like, it's almost like, let me write my fucking low-budget movie. Let me get Tom Hanks. And you get a guy fresh out of, acting school or something to do this shit.
Yes. I agree with that. I do think that maybe part of the reason the makeup and costuming takes you so out of it is because there's so many recognizable actors that you're staring at them trying to figure out who they are.
They really
instead
cake
of,
it on. And yeah, exactly.
They really
you're losing... valuable material that's happening as far as the story because you're trying to who the fuck is
yes
that
there that's Which an interesting other option that if you're gonna use the same actor use unknowns. I mean this movie, like think about it. If this movie worked, this is an epic on a level that is like
it was too,
masterpiece, like all these actors
if it worked,
the Wachowski brothers sisters directing after The Matrix, to have like something like this work would just be they'd be right at the top of the list best all time.
Right.
It just doesn't when it doesn't come together, it feels like a fucking train wreck.
Exactly. The problem is it was too ahead of its time. 2012. If this was getting pitched or done now, they'd do it on Netflix, and it'd be spread out over 10 episodes.
That's how it should be done. This would be like a dope-ass Netflix, Amazon, Prime, just really good stuff.
For sure.
Like
there's
this.
Stuff out there that feels like this, where it gives you time to unpack all
like
these crazy storylines.
Right. And you can watch because they'll repeat something, or you don't. Like this movie, like I barely was able to finish it because I was a lot of rewinding. Like, oh wait, what was that? Wait, what was that?
I also feel like it's too fucking long. This movie's too long, but at the same time, how could it be any shorter? As it is, there's so many stories happening. They can't devote enough time to any of them in 3 hours. It has to be a TV series. It would be interesting to see if anybody tries to tackle it.
And I I would love to see it as a TV series. I wonder how close it was to the book, because it felt almost like they had to do, like, I mean, unless they decided to have six storylines, it's just a lot. Like, the, and every story is these, you know, pairings of people who, you know, unlikable pairings, right? And so the slave one is cool, but, like, we've kind of seen that story in a sense. You know, we don't, it's a good story, but we don't need that story.
I thought that timeline, despite compelling material, right, was not compelling. I agree. I think, I mean, there's no reason you can't just lose some of the storylines. If you're adapting a book, just be like, look, we want to get them done. We'll take elements from that one and put it in here, but we want to make a watchable movie.
Right. You only need one. You really just need three.
Three, right?
One from the past, one kind of present, one in the future.
Yes. There was two. I mean, there's two different far in the future. The tribe one is like a 200 years in the future.
Yeah, right.
And then
right,
the robot one is way in the future, but it's, we don't need both
it's
of those.
600 years.
Yeah.
Right, come on. Right. 200 years.
Well, actually, the robot one, the Tom Hanks one is beyond the robot one.
Is it?
Yeah, because they realize that their god is
You're right.
They got it's a Japanese, a Korean robot. Excuse me, Korean robot. And why was Halle Berry? Was she just talking in a way that Tom Hanks could understand?
Because that felt offensive.
She's supposed to be more advanced.
She's affecting his. Yes, she was absolutely. She was speaking his language.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yes.
I was like, what is
but
this?
It was like the languages are close enough. I think he can get the gist of it. But like talking to him like that felt like. Like me going over to London and just being like, you guys won't understand me if I don't talk like this. Right, like, that's fucking offensive, man.
Yeah.
The whole thing felt very, that storyline in general, it was like weirdly, I know they were doing this like in the future, things have gotten so bad that we're reverting to more primitive things.
Right.
But it's just like a Hugh Grant in the fucking war paint. I just don't buy that. Like he is not that guy.
Hugh Grant. We had to get Hugh Grant for this.
Clearly Hugh Grant, right? Like
it looks like, fucking just, ridiculous.
And you can make that anybody.
I laughed when I saw him on horseback. Right. Supposed to be this intimidating, terrifying. When he licks the blood off the knife, I'm like, yo, that is obviously Hugh Grant. Like,
I wonder how that goes down. Like, does he ask to play that? Because just. Anyone else?
I know, of all people, and his American accent is terrible.
Alarming.
It was so.
It
was
felt
so
like ADR'd,
to
man.
Finally, see a British actor that couldn't do the American accent.
Like, you just
they always come over and dominate us. Like dominate us.
He's
like,
too fucking British. He can't do it. He's too British. Seeing
like,
him, I don't even know. Honestly,
that's their move.
Right.
Maybe like, his accent was good, but he just looking at Hugh Grant and having that come out of his face, I was like, nah.
Right,
nope.
Right.
You need to be British as all fuck. It felt so weird. And that was the thing. It just felt like there were too many characters and storyline moments that didn't work, that it stepped all over the stuff that did.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's crazy because if Roger Ebert, you know, God rest his soul, who watches movies, probably watches movies intently, like, you know, he's probably not on Instagram.
He's not fucking texting.
Right.
Yeah, like he gets it. He can understand a film.
And he watched it three times.
Yeah. What chance do we have?
Like, okay, if I watch it a second time and I feel like I got to watch it a third time, somebody owes me some time, some money. You know, I'll be so I'll maybe just leave it as
day.
It is. Yeah, yeah.
A full day.
I mean, you know, it's not a good sign anytime anything takes that many viewings for you to understand every piece of it. For you to, there's not enough keeping you in this movie for you to get everything the whole way through.
Right. Absolutely not. And there was some implications with the energy. Like somehow what happened in the 70s made it possible to have the robots in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah. There were through lines here and there that the nuclear energy company was one of them. There was the one. The composer's boyfriend character was in two different timelines.
Right.
Like there were through lines, but again, because so much was going on, a lot of times, like I felt like, oh, that's who that is. That's still the same guy.
It was
confusing. There was a lot of trying to solve what was happening and who was who.
And
it felt like work.
Yeah, it was, man. It was a lot to pay attention to.
Because think what a movie is like. you have options, right? You can make it real or it can be not real. But some movies that are not based in reality can still really be really good, just as long as they like adhere to the world they create, right? Also, you have dialogue, and your dialogue can, it can sound just how people talk, and that works. Or it can be an affectation of how people talk, and be flowery, be like elevated, and sometimes that can work. But the story always has to work. And I feel like there's so many things that work in this movie that they didn't focus on the main things. Like, you ever, like, we're all stand-ups. You ever show up at a stand-up show and, like, there's not a light. There's not a, a spotlight. And you're like,
yeah.
Listen, everything else aside, stand-up needs a light and a mic.
Yeah.
You have two things to remember.
Right. And then, and so, like, with this, because some of the dialogue is great. Some of the things, there's so many quotable lines, and you're like, oh, that sounds great. And I think the writers, and they felt probably good about it, and they should have. They, you know, they're really good writers. But it doesn't matter if the story doesn't make sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, the gay character, like, when he's writing in his journal, like, he's saying all this great poetic stuff, and he's writing this letter to his boyfriend, and it's all great, and it's just, like you said, you watch a few minutes, and then you're taken away to...
Yeah.
You're in
you
some...
You start, just as soon as you start to pick up on what's happening, they, boom... Another time, and it's like you're starting over. Where right. are we? What's happening? What was happening the last time we checked in with these fuckers?
Yeah, and that's a delicate line to walk. Like, a lot of movies and TV shows have attempted that kind of thing. Right. Like True Detective, who managed to get it right first season, but then second season, not so much. Like, it's a hard thing to tell a story that way, and you have to take care of every single element in order for it to actually come together. And... I don't know. It just, to me, it was like, just do less or
it's that
let this be
off,
two movies
they bit
at,
off
at
way
least.
More than they could chew.
Yeah.
And
I respect the attempt. Holy shit.
Yeah,
like to read a book like this and be like, I'm
going to
make this movie
is
ballsy.
Ambitious.
And then to get all these great actors involved too is like, man, this has a chance to be like this amazing. And like, this has like a 7.5 rating on IMDb.
Yeah.
Respectable
there's a lot of really impressive, great stuff in there. Right.
But when, like, big picture, it just doesn't, for me, it didn't come together as a whole movie.
Part of me, you know, I feel like, a lot of these A-list actors, of which there are so many,
right?
You know, you'd figure they would catch on that maybe this material isn't so good. But I honestly feel like everyone was concentrating on remembering so many different accents.
Oh, absolutely! This is an undertaking for an actor, man.
Yeah, because it's like you're constantly worried about, like, I got to make this sound different than that last guy
playing
what
all
is
those
this
different
person's
parts.
Background,
it's impressive
motivation, and it's like. It's such little spurts. It's like you got to make them count. But it's almost like, you know, you want me to, you know, remember the lines, sell this different character
for the eighth
time, and make sure there's meat on the bones. Yeah, it's like they can't do everything.
That's a great point.
And they're sitting in makeup for 4 hours, some of the parts.
And you, I feel like you can
4 hours of makeup.
You can almost feel it in certain parts they play. You're like, oh, that's like Tom Hanks in the 70s. You're like, that is a Tom Hanks character. This guy is great.
Right.
And it felt like it felt more authentic. It felt more interesting. And then when he's suddenly caked in makeup and playing this like wacko fucking doctor in the 1880s, it was like, what is happening?
Yeah. Again, it's so much like there's so many bells and whistles. And, you know, it's one of these can't see the forest because of the trees kind of thing. And it's like the basic, can I sit down and watch this movie? You know, and like all of the great quotable lines aside, you know, like especially 2012, right? In this era, it seems like when you make a movie, unless it's super low budget, you want to be able to get international distribution. Like, not that I know a lot about that side of it, but Fast and the Furious, right? Cars... driving fast. This shit can play anywhere.
Yeah.
They can.
Universal
concept.
They
speak a little English. yeah. They're in there. They got the popcorn. The cars are driving fast. Everyone gets it. You know, the all of the comic book movies, shit blowing up. Everyone gets shit blown up. Like, it's hard to watch this movie.
It is.
If you're not, like, first of all, if you don't speak English, even a person translating it probably won't, it won't even translate well. I don't know how this movie, with this big budget, can.
Yeah.
Can play even though there's an Asian component, how does this play in other countries, in China or anywhere
this,
like that?
This was, they had a hard time getting this financed. This was a $100 million movie and was independently financed. It's the most expensive independent film, I think, made to, I don't know if it still is, but it was when it came out.
Polarizing.
I could have made 20 movies.
I know. So many movies. Can you imagine?
22. Yeah, I mean, I could have made 100 movies. Right. Maybe 200.
Yeah,
I mean,
right. That's true.
An organized comic with $100 million could turn that into a billion dollars.
I'd be dead in a week.
Yeah, right. Either those two things are going to happen. Either you're going to turn it into a billion, or you'll be dead in two weeks.
It's just so crazy to have, like, to have that much money behind it and have all these amazing actors. And then still, to me, was like, the look of it was such a big fucking issue. Some of the, like, the actors on set at some point had to be like, is this a good idea? Like, people looking at Jim Sturgis with Korean eyes, like, had to be like, I don't know if this is the way we should have done this. Like,
but so interesting that, like, being independently financed is that, like, say I'm some billionaire and, you know, $100 million or whatever, $100 million is nothing to me. Or I gave $50 million or whatever the case, right? I can't tell these great actors and these filmmakers what to do. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, we appreciate your money, but we're the experts here. Mm-hmm. And so this movie almost shows you the value of a good executive. I don't know where the executives come in, but like, if this was not independently financed, you know, like if someone, I don't know, maybe this did happen, but it feels like if someone at a studio is involved early on, this, they're like, no, listen, this, no, we're not doing this.
We're gonna get this thing
cut
together.
Cut this. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. Yeah. Let's launch
a Gollum character and a leprechaun top hat. That's what it needs.
That was so fucking weird. Let's get into the games while we have a little bit of time left, because I mean, generally, I think we've established how we feel. Not getting a second viewing from me, I'll say
I want people to watch it, and I think I will.
It's
watch
worth
it
checking
again,
out.
But I will only watch it with someone else, and that's a little bit of a Misery Loves Company kind of thing.
Yes. Watch this and tell me if I'm wrong.
Right.
Let's make a drinking game out of this movie. So every time something repetitive happens, you have to take a drink. What do you think, Dwayne?
I'm not sure how often this happens, because I'm not always sure who I'm watching. But every time Tom Hanks says something racist.
Yeah.
And so you have to listen carefully, because he might say something racist even in the future.
Yeah.
If you can understand that language. Because, you know, the guy... And I'm counting the leprechaun talking to him, because it's just him, he's talking to himself, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's like 4 or 5 times, I think.
It's more than he's racist in maybe all of his other movies combined. Right. You don't get a lot of racism out of Tom Hanks.
Not usually, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Mine is, let's see. I got to say, I mean, I guess it's going to happen a lot, but every time you were just completely distracted by a fake nose or weird eyes or white face or Asian face or whatever, it was just, and I think that was a shame too, because it forced you to just stop paying it. Like, you realize, like, I've been staring at this person's face for a full minute. I have no idea what anybody said. I have to rewind now.
Right.
It's too
you
much.
Die of alcohol poison.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's
for sure.
Over it.
What do you think, Sean? What's your drinking game?
Mine, it would be, I mean, it's a long movie, so I was thinking, like, long drinking game, have some layers to it, right? So,
yeah, this is a marathon.
Every time Tom Hanks changes his accent, you got to drink.
Yeah.
Beer. Sip a beer.
So even if they go back in time. So every time.
Yeah, every time, like, if his accent changes.
That's a good one.
Sip a beer. Every time Hugh Grant fails at an American accent, shot of absinthe. Because that's what this movie needs.
I am Hugh Grant. I sound American now. That's what it sounded like.
A
machine
the best line
trying.
The whole movie, I think.
Which one?
It's the one where he's interacting with Halle Berry, the reporter, in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he like they're talking, and he like does the stop, turns, looks her up and down, is like, you know, if all the reporters look like you, I'll have to start taking this women's lib thing more seriously.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, that is not going down.
I'm an American jerk. That's hilarious. Let's come up with a new Oscars category that this movie should have been nominated for. Dwayne, you kind of touched on this. I went with best combination of several good movies to make one bad movie.
That's funny.
It seems like a difficult task, but they did it.
That's funny. It's like a Voltron got like a Transformer, like,
just gets progressively weaker the more, like, you add to it.
All the other ones are dope, and they got together, and they're like, we can't.
This doesn't work at all. We don't function now.
Yeah. Mine is a best self-help book disguised as a movie. Because really, this it's like, you can just sort of like, just sort of extract some of the great quotes and like, you know, make a go of it. It's really just sort of like, be a good person, you know.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of that, like,
don't be afraid to rock the boat.
Bigger life things that they're saying, like, each, you know, as time goes by, none of that changes. And be, there's a hero in every timeline.
Right.
And they are definitely, like, there's some good lessons to be learned.
Absolutely.
Here.
Like when a guy goes, you know, you're not going to change anything. You're just a drop in an ocean. And he goes, but what is an ocean but a multitude of drops?
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That was heavy.
I felt that one. Yeah. It feels very novelistic, though. A lot of the dialogue in it was like, maybe you should have strayed a bit from the book in that sense, too.
Right, right.
Because it was like, sometimes it felt like they're hitting you over the head with, like, yeah, I get it. I'm not an idiot.
Right, right.
What exactly. do you think, man?
I had it, you know, it be a nominee for most scene changes in cinematic history.
Yeah.
That would be the category.
This had to have been hell for like a script supervisor, set the amount of set designers, I can only fucking imagine.
That's why there's three directors, I think, because it even says certain years were.
Oh yeah, yeah, they were split. The Lily and Lana Wachowski did half of it, and Tom Tykwer did half of it.
Right.
Which that's a bold move too, because if you're not, they're literally like, not in the same place.
They should have just at some when they're in the editing process, which. Could you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Oh, seven editors killed themselves finishing this movie.
I mean, just like at some point, just make two fucking movies. Just like Back to the Future 2 and 3 this.
The
like,
amount of footage there must have been.
Shoot them at the same time, make two different movies.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
Simple formula.
Exactly.
Let's visit one time period in this movie. So there's, what, six or seven different times? Which one would you go to, Dwayne? What do you think?
Oh, in this movie. So, it's a tough one, but I think definitely the future. Which future? I think the Tom Hanks future. You know what I mean? Because it felt like black people were doing all right.
So, you're just going there because Halle Berry was on the ship and he was like stuck down there with Hugh Grant.
You know which one you don't want to go to.
Yes. Oh, yeah, right, exactly.
Yes.
Especially since I can't make a ship sail come down. That was
That's
pretty.
It.
Oh man, that was the most. That was the most impressive shit in the whole movie.
Yeah, that was
him
crazy.
Running around on that ship. Jesus Christ!
But like that thing. Like that's a great scene, right?
Yes.
He proves himself, and they say, "Okay, you know." And I love that promotion of the American spirit. But like, it's also possible that you do that. It's really impressive, and they throw you overboard
for sure.
You know what I mean?
Like either way, Jim Sturgis fucking snitched on him, and that's fucked up.
Right.
Even
if
he thought they were gonna let him stay, like you're kind of taking a chance here with my life, buddy.
And he said, "I'm an able sailor." Like he didn't say I can climb up to the top.
Yeah,
of
yeah,
the
right. Like,
around.
Dude, I just meant I could mop the deck. Jesus Christ! What are you doing? You're putting me out there. Like I gotta prove myself.
I'm not Jack Sparrow. Like, relax.
Yeah.
I love it. I think
kill someone. Kill Jim Sturgis, though, right?
Yes.
I mean, he's not doing shit. He's just gonna, and you see that later. He just lays around,
getting poisoned
sick.
Like a little bitch. I think I would go to the 70s timeline in this movie because that was definitely the most interesting to me, and it was it like the 70s. I think were still a time where you could have super interesting journalism like that happening.
Absolutely.
Like it, not that it's not interesting now, but like investigative journalism back then was done in such an interesting hands-on way.
That's true.
So like the whole story of Halle Berry, this music reporter, I think she was, covering a nuclear company's giant cover-up is like that. That was just the only one that really
that
held me.
That would have been a really good movie by itself. And in the future, the good thing about the 70s is the future, you're like, oh, this robot, whatever clone woman is able to escape. It's sort of like we already know now, like it's like exponentially harder to get away with any crime now than it was 10 years ago. So, you know, 100 years in the future, you're just not getting away with anything, you know.
40 years ago, definitely I would have been a criminal.
Right.
Just way easier.
Their guard was way down. Like, now it's just like, it's not a smart decision. Like,
not at all, yeah.
Back in the day, me then, I'd have been dangerous, guys.
What? So what timeline for you, Sean? What do you think?
To me, yeah, I think similarly, I looked at it in terms of like, what would be best for me in this scenario? And I feel like the world I would want to be in the future with Sunmi the in that one.
Yeah, that was good.
I would have just been a regular standard operating procedure consumer.
Yes, you're just
baby.
The guy.
I'm just hanging out. Yeah.
Ogling the lady bots
good.
At the diner.
Honor thy consumer, fellas.
Right.
So that was definitely where I was going.
All right, let's rename this movie, Cloud Atlas, which I will say is probably what kept me interested since it came out. I was always like, I don't have time to invest in this movie, but it's a vaguely interesting enough name.
Yeah.
I was like, I always eventually was going to watch it. I went a weird route with it. It's a nod to Cyndi Lauper, and I think her song should be the only song in this entire soundtrack and just call it Time After Time.
That's great.
Go
That's
with
great.
A real different tone.
This nail on the head.
Yeah.
That's just like, that's right on the head. That's going.
I put
right into
no
the
effort into it. Yeah. Say it, Dwayne.
No, I like it. Mine is no better. I just have a string of status updates because you just feel like this movie could be a TV show, like a really good series. It could be two movies, or it could just be a girl's fucking Instagram page.
Yes, those
just
inspirational quote moments for sure. Yeah, I like it. What do you think, Sean?
You know, for what was a very frustrating movie to watch, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, in a weird way, I felt satisfied at the end off of just the last scene with Tom Hanks and Halle Berry and their family, and it's like, oh, he got that guy after everything he had been through, after everything they'd been through, like to just get to have retirement out in Arizona, wherever they are.
I think they were on another planet.
They're not even on Earth.
Yeah. And so it kind
of
like
the Arizona
way,
of planets, though, it looked like
it washed away the stink of everything else that preceded it. So for me, it's Tom Hanks and Halle Berry, a love story.
Yeah.
There you go. Because you're going to go watch that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you
of
know?
Course.
Here's the one thing that we didn't touch on, and you made me think of it. It's really quick because you don't see Halle Berry in the end. You know they got together because their grandkids are there. The Tom Hanks character looks exactly the way he looked roughly when Halle Berry met him. The Halle Berry character looks like the Six Flags guy. Like, they aged her so ridiculously.
I guess they're like, Halle Berry looks too damn good. We have to put 1,000 pounds of makeup
run out
on
of
her.
Ways to make her look different.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe a few less timelines would have made that
because
easier.
She, at the end, she looks like his mom. I'm what? Did the prescience?
I mean, look.
Do they age more? I don't know.
That guy, I'm just not buying that he lands her. Let's be real. I just don't think it happens.
No. I buy it because he saved her life twice.
Oh, he's such a
bitch.
That's
kind of like Last
something.
Man on Earth stuff.
Yeah, it's got to be worth something.
Yeah.
She,
at that point, with the amount of dudes they're encountering on the road, you're hanging with Tom.
Oh, by the way, can
it's
we?
It's like jail. You got you have to pick who's gonna. Somebody's gonna, but you gotta. You
know. Think of all the other men they encountered. By comparison, who are you rolling with? I'm gonna.
But
I don't want to be out there by myself.
But it's more. It's
Tom,
not. It's not
I can
even
talk to this.
It's
guy,
not that
guys.
I don't buy them being together. It's that where she's coming from to be like, I fell in love with this guy in a loincloth who speaks like a toddler.
Right. That's true.
I just don't feel it. I also we haven't touched on Susan Sarandon in that timeline. I don't think I understood a single word she said.
Oh, that's right. She was.
She was like the
witch
doctor.
Yeah.
Fucking so weird. What's your favorite thing about this movie? Let's close it out with this. Mine is when it was over. That was my favorite moment. I did feel some satisfaction, like you said, because they wrapped up storylines that you actually enjoyed or gave you little moments to enjoy. But mostly it was just like, thank God.
Right,
it was a relief.
Oh, I think, well, if I'm just going to be sort of like, let me allow myself just to be like a 12-year-old boy for a second. The part about just the notion of you can live in this world where you're a consumer, and that seemed like a pretty sweet deal. I mean, if you didn't know what was happening with the other, you know, if you was blind to all of that.
Yeah, if you didn't know about the atrocities, sure.
That was pretty sweet. And then I also, I don't know, I like you said, there are a lot of little moments that you can root for and the love stories and all of that. I just liked that composer's music found its way into a record shop or music shop years and years later and was being appreciated. Yeah. And his name was on it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool.
What do you think, Sean? Favorite thing about this movie?
It was my favorite character that they never revisited, which was also frustrating. It was when Tom Hanks was Dermot Hoggins, the Irish author.
Oh yeah, that was really quick.
He kills the critic.
Oh,
when
I completely forgot.
That was such a quick moment.
That was my favorite
because
part.
That's
like,
just
ran. I'm like, why didn't that guy like drop his legs and start dragging?
It's almost like
he just ran with him.
Yeah, it's like the same character. I guess he didn't know he was gonna do it. That character is very similar to the one from Tropical Thunder, in a sense.
Tropic Thunder.
Yeah,
like, definitely.
Tom Cruise's character.
It was so interesting, but it wound up just being the beginning of that retirement home story. But I forgot about that. Just seeing Tom Hanks look like that was like...
It was laugh out. That,
jarring.
That was the only time I laughed at one of Tom's get-ups.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then every Hugh Grant one.
Yeah.
I just would be like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Like, stick to Notting Hill.
You're
bro.
Not fooling anyone, Hugh Grant.
So do we think, in addition to, like, if you had to put a percentage on it, like, what doesn't work, is it how convoluted the storylines are, or is it just the makeup?
I think it's a combination of both. Because I feel like some of the storylines were interesting enough that the makeup didn't like the future one with the robots. Mm-hmm. As much as I didn't think fucking giving him Korean eyes was okay,
right,
or the way to do it, that's it wasn't so distracting from that storyline.
I had to actually pause and I was like, "Is that Halle Berry?" And I was like, "Okay," because that would have been amazing if it was.
I think the makeup artist went into this job thinking this is gonna be a lock. I'm definitely winning best makeup at the Academy Awards.
Right, right.
I think everybody went into this project thinking this is going to blow people's
absolutely.
Mind.
It's got all the earmarks.
It felt like Studio City on the Sunset Strip when NBC did that show.
Yeah,
where it was like, this is going to be a can't
this
miss.
Should be it, yeah.
This it, and it was just, this is long.
Yeah. It's like when the Lakers got Dwight Howard and Steve Nash.
Yeah, yeah.
And Gary Payton. They didn't realize that. They thought, This feels
Gary
good.
Gary Payton and Karl Malone.
Karl Malone.
Yeah, Karl Malone.
Yeah.
It was. They didn't realize those guys.
This was
had nothing.
This
else
movie
to
was a failed super team.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
That's exactly right. It's a great call.
I think that about does it for this week. Sean, thank you so much for being here,
thanks
man.
For having me,
tell Dallas. Everybody where to find you online, all that sort of stuff.
At Sean S. McBride, SEAN, the correct Irish spelling. that's for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'll be in Kansas City last weekend of October. And then in Phoenix, Mesa, the 19th and 20th.
Check him out, guys.
DwaynePerkins.com is the website. I'm slowly putting up my dates because most of October I'll be in Asia and Australia. So check
what
calendar.
Up, consumer?
right. So, yeah, I'm doing a one-man show, not one-man show, but an hour set at the Comedy Store in Sydney, October 12th. So tell your friends in Australia.
I'm at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter, and we are at Movie Nightcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Send us your suggestions, any new game ideas you have, any movies you want to hear us talk about that we haven't covered yet, any guests that you'd like to hear us talk to, anything. We like hearing from you guys always, and I don't think this was a fan suggestion, so we can't blame this on anyone but me. It's on me, guys.
No,
I'm sorry.
I'm glad I saw this.
Sean, thanks again for being here, man. Tune in next week, guys.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.